as we wrap up our celebration of folk music today. Remember, you can buy their music and see where they're performing at their website, dangerousfolk.com. And that is it for today's edition of Saturday Noon Tunes. Once again, we say thank you for listening to WGTD's.
This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, vice president for community and government relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
And a very pleasant good morning and welcome to this edition of Education Matters here on WGTD Public Radio. I'm your host today, Steve Brown, and I am very pleased to have as my guest for Education Matters today, Dr. Michael Jenkins. And Michael is the Interim Dean of STEM Pathway at Milwaukee Area Technical College. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Michael, as you know, Gateway Technical College owns and operates WGTD, and I always like talking to other educators, and you were just telling me before we went on the air here or started the recording that you actually worked at Gateway Technical College in the past.
I did. I worked as the curriculum specialist at Gateway Technical College from 2000 to 2007, and for a year before that, I worked as a program evaluation specialist. So, yes, I have very fond memories of Gateway Technical College. I did subsequently leave to join Milwaukee Area Technical College, but it was a sad farewell for me leaving Gateway.
Sure. One of the things I always like to do, Mike, at the beginning is to have my guests talk a bit about themselves, how you got into education, where you grew up, where you went to school, including high school, and colleges, colleges that you've attended.
I would be happy to do that. I admit I'm a lifelong nerd. And committed to the pursuit of intellectual and academic excellence. Alternately put, I have never braved the real world. I've stayed in academia my entire life. I was born and raised in upstate New York near Albany. I went to Maple Hill High School, was in the Skodak school system for my entire K-12 career. When I graduated from there, I went to Dartmouth College, where I got my bachelor's degree in philosophy. That seems like a bit of an unusual thing for a math nerd, but a lot of mathematicians had a strong background in philosophy. So then in 1992, I transplanted myself and came out to Madison, Wisconsin. I went to UW-Madison and got my master's in educational psychology, cognitive science area. Then, as I mentioned, I started working for Gateway Technical College. Took several years working in academia. And then in 2008, I went back for my doctorate and graduated from Cardinal Stritch University in 2012 with my doctorate in leadership, learning, and service in higher education.
Wow. Quite the interesting background. I won't go into my whole background, but I started out in broadcast journalism, got fired from the only job I've ever been fired from, and got into education because I covered education in Tampa, Florida, and worked with the school district in Hillsborough County in Tampa and Pinellas County over in St. Petersburg. And that's how I got into education. You know, one of the things I always like to ask, and I ask it either at the beginning or at the end, but I'll ask it now. When you were in high school in upstate New York, was there one teacher you can think of who really had an incredible influence on you with regards to maybe how she or he changed your life or had an impact that you always remember?
Sure. And again, so I grew up as a math nerd. I actually took calculus in ninth grade.
Wow.
Yeah, so you would expect the answer to be a favorite math teacher, and I certainly loved my math teachers, but the teacher I really remember the most was Robert Cross, my 11th grade social studies teacher.
Okay.
And the reason I remember him fondly was that he was the person who was willing to talk with me after class and debate things and challenge my philosophy and help me to grow intellectually. He was really the person that led me to the idea that I wanted to be a lifelong learner. He also said something really practical. He said, when I was looking at colleges, he said, you know, college is great. Go to the best college you can find, but keep in mind, education, you will get out of it what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lived with that ever since, and it's a really good philosophy because, yes, the more I commit myself to learning, the better off I am.
Sure. And your undergrad degree was at Dartmouth College. And, you know, one of the famous outstanding Ivy League colleges in the country. What was it like attending school there? Obviously, you were in upstate New York. Education has always been important in New York, as it is here in Wisconsin. But what was it like attending Dartmouth?
It was a very eye-opening experience in a very good way. Things were a lot more open. I think that's true of a lot of colleges, but particularly there, there were a lot of resources dedicated to the student experience. The nice thing was we did joke, Dartmouth was famous for alumni such as Dr. Seuss and Captain Kangaroo.
That's right.
So it was also a reminder not to take yourself too seriously,
mm-hmm.
Which is a good thing. I actually got to meet Captain Kangaroo once.
Really?
Which was kind of fun. Yep. He came to homecoming one year.
Wow.
Didn't really get to say much to him, but at least I got to say hi. So that was fun.
Well, and for some of our listeners who may not be that aware of Captain Kangaroo, it was on CBS television and very popular in the 1950s into the 60s. I think he was on for over 20 years on television. One of the things that also in your current position at Milwaukee Area Technical College, in your estimation, the time that you've been there since 2007, I believe you said,
mm-hmm.
What makes it unique? What makes MATC unique in your estimation, not only as an administrator, but as someone who's well aware of academia over the years you've been involved in it?
What makes us unique is our commitment to our students and community. And I don't mean that other colleges don't commit to their students. What I mean, and I'll use Dartmouth College as an example since we talked about it. If Dartmouth College were to close their doors tomorrow, all of the students there would simply go to a different school. They'd go to Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Brown or wherever, because the strength of Dartmouth is it attracts students who can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If MATC closed their doors tomorrow, most of our students wouldn't really have another option.
Mm-hmm.
We provide that service to our students and to the community to lift up the community and give students who don't necessarily have other options a path to a sustainable, good-paying career.
Okay. In the opening, I mentioned that you're the current interim dean for the STEM pathway, and you've been interim dean since May of last year, 2024, but you've been involved with STEM pathway at MATC since 2023 when you were associate dean, and then other things that you've done at MATC. If you could just describe, I mean, I know what STEM stands for, but maybe if you could talk about not only what it stands for, but some of the, if you could talk about some of the unique programs within your division.
Sure. So in the late 20-teens, we moved to something called Guided Pathways. The idea being building an improved support structure for students. And part of that was a little more transparency around what the connected clusters of programs were. And when we designed that, we actually looked at, interestingly enough, verbs. Like, so for example, the healthcare pathway was around the verb heal, because people in that field, they work to heal others. The reason I mention this is the STEM pathway's verb was solve. So the STEM pathway is built around people who are problem solvers, people who are analytical by nature. As you mentioned, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. So those are people you think of as left-brained, analytical, problem solvers. So that's what all of the pathway careers have in common, is it's basically we're asking our students to break things down, analyze, solve problems, and have that skill to bring to the workforce. And what's particularly nice is that's actually a very valuable skill. You mentioned things like IT, electronics, science. These tend to be very high-paying careers because that concept of analysis, the scientific method by any other name, tends to be a skill that is extremely useful, both in academia and outside of it.
As I read through what's on the website as far as the STEM pathway program, as you just stated, it includes civil engineering, quality engineering, mechanical design technology, mechanical and computer drafting. And then on the next screen, it talks about the IT programs. And, you know, we all hear about IT, we hear about AI, artificial intelligence. My question is, if you were the age of a student right now graduating from high school, and you lived anywhere in Wisconsin, whether it's the Milwaukee area or here in Kenosha, Racine, or wherever, why would the program that you are currently interim dean be something that you would have an interest in?
Well, it turns out that this is the skill I like. This is actually why I got involved with the STEM pathway. I mentioned growing up, I was interested in mathematics. I actually did have a programming background Although nowadays that's kind of a running joke with the IT faculty, because my programming was in BASIC and Pascal, if you remember Pascal.
Oh yeah, sure.
So it's obviously very obsolete, but I really liked that kind of approach to things. And aside from it being a growth field, to me, it's a really interesting field. So it is something that I would be attracted to. And frankly, math helped me with all of the other areas within STEM.
Sure. And in fact, I'll make a comment here that has nothing to do with mathematics, but with cartoon shows that our audience who had the opportunity to listen in the archives of WGTD Public Radio, you were the narrator for our cartoon shows on the radio. And I only mention that because writing cartoon shows, doing voices, putting together a cartoon show today in 2025 is very technical. The editing, the sound and everything. What kinds of thoughts ran through your mind? You were the narrator. You were the one who carried the story from beginning to end. And that's very mathematical, from beginning to end. And the and the formula that you followed. In your mind, when you were doing that narration, was there anything that ran through your mind about, you know, this is scientific. This is something that pertains to my training. And I'll use the word you use. I would never call you a nerd, by the way.
Mike, thank you.
I've known you for quite a while. But how scientific do you find the world today that maybe technically speaking does not actually involve mathematics, but in reality, it is?
I think mathematics is everywhere. I think you're exactly right. Everything we do is mathematical. For years, I've used the example, people love music, and this is a radio station, so a lot of people listening probably enjoy music. Mm-hmm. Music is actually, believe it or not, a trigonometric system. It's logarithmic, to be precise, because I'm sure some of the math people out there will say, Mike, be more precise. Basically, what that means is if you look at the wavelength, one octave requires, if you go up an octave, it means the wavelength has to be halved. And so it's a arithmetic to exponential relationship. I know that was probably a little more technical, but basically what it means is a lot of the things that people think of as artistic or creative actually have an underlying STEM basis. And understanding that basis helps you better understand what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The other part I'll mention, since you mentioned the radio play, and it was really good. The actors did a wonderful job, and I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the character actors.
Sure. Although you were outstanding, by the way.
Well, thank you. The key with that, beyond being analytical, was also applying leadership principles. As the narrator, I felt my primary job was to bring out everyone else. So the connections were designed to elicit the more interesting parts through the characters and the roles they played. The glue that keeps things together is also an opportunity to shine the light on other people's excellence, mm-hmm. which is really what leadership is about.
If you're listening right now to Education Matters, my guest is Dr. Michael Jenkins, and he is the interim dean of the STEM pathway at Milwaukee Area Technical College. Every time I see the word STEAM, I think of STEM.
Mm-hmm.
and STEM, I think of STEAM, adding the A, there are programs around the country in school districts and at colleges and universities, STEAM. So it'd be science, technology, engineering, art, artistic, which could be music, and mathematics. Why is it that A has been added there?
And an excellent observation. It was added. Originally, the reference was to STEM, and STEAM was added afterwards. And I think it's because of that strong connection between the arts and STEM disciplines. I talked about music. I'll also mention if you do visual arts have a very strong geometric basis. If you talk to people who are good at painting or drawing or sketching, almost invariably their training includes understanding area and proportionality, which are mathematical concepts, and being able to talk about the ratio between, for example, a person's head and their feet when doing a picture of a human body. So there is a very strong connection there. The other thing that I like to emphasize is as good as it is to be analytical and as important a skill as it is, human beings have a need to be creative. So even if you are strictly in STEM and you're a mathematical person, you still have to find creative outlets. And that's an important part of being a whole person. And I think STEAM reflects that and allows us to embrace the creativity within what was STEM and is now STEAM to allow us to grow more and be more of a whole person.
Sure. And when you were talking about music and going up an octave, I minored in music. Music theory, composition, and I also sing and have for many, many years. And I've always been interested in the scientific side of music. And like you stated, you know, it's very it's artistic, if you will, but it's also very logical and doing piano. I wasn't that good with piano. I played the piano my own way, and my music theory director, professor at the University of Florida, Elwood Keister, who got his degree, by the way, at Syracuse University, he came over and he said, "Steve, your fingering is wrong," but yet I was playing absolutely correctly. So I wasn't following the scientific formula of the piano, but I was doing it correctly. And I still made an A in the class, but it was difficult to try to do it the correct way or do it my way. You know, as you're talking, you know, on your website, the MATC's IT programs, one of the things that jumped out at me, it said you can expect small classes taught by qualified instructors who have real-world experience and can provide individual attention. Having taught at the university level for over 25 years, you know, to be able to say in educational leadership is where I taught in school law, small classes wasn't always the case. Why are small classes so critical to the IT program?
Actually, small classes, while they are critical to the IT program, that underlies a general philosophy of actually both MATC and Gateway Technical College, which is a focus on hands-on practical training that requires small class sizes to have the level of contact with the instructor that's needed to actually practice the things that you will do in the field. So for example, if you take an IT class at MATC, you are going to learn a little bit of theory, but the expectation is your primary focus is applying that theory by, for example, writing programs or working with applications or setting up networks. I mean, obviously, we have to build our own fake networks because nobody's going to let us actually work with someone's actual network, but we build simulations to allow students to actually practice these skills that they're going to need when they graduate and go out into the field. And that's actually, to me, a very important aspect of the two-year college WTCS philosophy behind education.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you, and that is, as you look at the programs within your division, how significant at this point in time is artificial intelligence?
Artificial intelligence is coming. It's here whether we want it to be or not. And I say it that way because it changes the game. It really recreates things because on one hand, some people are concerned that artificial intelligence will allow you to, for example, cheat on assignments because you can ask an AI unit to complete your homework for you. On the other hand, it's arguably one of the best educational tools out there because you can also use it to ask an AI unit to give you easier to understand synopses of what you were learning in a given day, to take a large amount of material and parse through it and pull out the most important aspects of it. So depending on how people use it, it can be a wonderful boon to education or it can be a shortcut. And it really comes back to, I mentioned earlier in the show, my high school teacher said, education, get out of it what you put into it. I think AI becomes the ultimate example of that, in that if you use it well, you can truly augment your educational experience. And if you use it as a shortcut, then really at the end of the day, you're cheating yourself because you're not going to learn the skills that you need to succeed.
As you were talking, I was thinking with the experiences that your students get in any aspect of your division, what percentage, roughly speaking, of your students who graduate with an associate's degree go on to a four-year university?
97% either get a job or go on to a four-year university.
And looking at what I mentioned at the beginning, that according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the projected growth rate for STEM fields through 2026 is 10.8%, with 93 of 100 STEM occupations earning wages well above the national average. So, you know, I would suspect, and I could be wrong, is that someone might initially go right into a technology field when they get their associate's degree at MATC, and at some point in the future, go on and get an advanced degree. I mean, you did that, I did that, many mm-hmm. people who are listening right now have done the same thing. So it's something that's interesting that, you know, a four-year degree is certainly interesting, important, whatever you want to say, and graduate degrees, but with the technology field growing so fast now that it's not necessarily a downside, if you will, and I'll put it in quotations, only getting an associate's degree, because that, depending on the field, can be not only very outstanding for someone professionally, but monetarily, right?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, it means students are getting money to help finance further education. Plus, there are a number of employers who will actually subsidize additional education for their employees. So it can be very advantageous to go right into the workplace and go back in the future to get additional degrees.
Sure. In an article that was published in the Daily Cardinal a few days ago, actually back in February, I'm sorry, the headline is Wisconsin Technical College System is requesting $60 million increase in the 2025 through 2027 budget. There were some comments here from the Wisconsin Technical College System. In your role as interim dean in your division and in discussions that you have with other administrators, how concerning is it at this moment in time with what's happening nationally with regards to budgets, particularly in education, and the impact on the technical colleges here in Wisconsin?
So we do have to be obviously very budget conscious and very efficient in terms of getting the largest return on the money that has been invested in us, both at MATC and across the Wisconsin Technical College System. I will mention specifically, I do use the word investment. And I use it very specifically because, by and large, and this would apply to our current budget and the requested future increase, there is a return to the state coffers on every dollar that is spent. Every graduate that we put out who gets a job, and as you mentioned, most of the jobs in STEM are above the national average, result in people getting jobs and returning money to the tax base. So putting money into the WTCS is an investment that has a return in terms of increased money available to the state for future expenditures, which is why the request was made. And it is our hope that this investment is something that we can do to help grow our economy, grow our state budget, generally improve outcomes within our community.
As you look to the future, obviously what your division is doing now is right on target with what needs to be done. What kinds of programs do you see or would you like to see MATC offer in your area? In your division that it is not offering now, or at least expanding some existing area?
So there is a specific program that we are working on building. It's called biotechnology. And the reason we're doing this, aside from the fact that there is a huge demand, a huge growth area, we also have, as a state, received a grant specifically to develop what's called a biohealth tech hub. The idea being we will be the place of choice, Southern Wisconsin, to do the research, do the applications to improve health outcomes through biotechnology. You may be aware that Eli Lilly is looking to expand their presence, particularly in the Gateway District, so in southeast Wisconsin. And as part of that, and there are other companies too who are interested in growing, expanding, there are going to be a lot of jobs in biotechnology in the relatively near future. So to keep up with that demand, we are building a biotechnology program to train people for these future jobs, which again are very high paying. As you noted, we tend to shoot above the national average. Biotechnology is a growth field. there are a lot of demands, particularly as our population ages and the value of improved health outcomes increases. So that is something we are developing. We are hoping to accept our first students into this program in August. There are a lot of moving parts to make that happen, but I am confident that we can make it happen. So that's a growth area for us.
It was interesting that that you mentioned that you worked previously at Gateway Technical College, which I didn't know because we haven't really ever talked about that. What kinds of overall relationships does MATC have with other technical colleges in the state? And I guess a follow-up question to that that I'll ask, how important is that for technical colleges to be working together or in some sort of partnerships?
Well, it's absolutely essential. And we do work regularly with all of our WTCS colleagues, but particularly with the ones near us, most notably Gateway and Waukesha. The other thing that's interesting, I mentioned I worked there previously and then came to MATC. There is a lot of cross-pollination between the WTCS and particularly colleges within the WTCS in the same region. When I went to Milwaukee, I talked with a lot of colleagues at Gateway who gave me advice about Milwaukee because they had been there previously. So yeah, it is very important. We're also trying to and successfully building partnerships with, for example, four-year institutions. I know Gateway has a strong relationship with UW-Parkside. We have a strong relationship, we call it M-Cubed, which is an alliance between MPS, MATC, and UWM in Milwaukee. And we also have something, and I apologize for all the alphabet soup I'm giving you. It's called HERA, which is Higher Education Regional Alliance, which is all of the post-secondary schools in Southeast Wisconsin meeting together, working together on a regular basis.
And, you know, a follow-up question to that is, what kinds of programs is MATC, particularly in your division, doing with regards to any of the public schools? You just mentioned, you know, MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools, but can you give an example of a program, an activity that MATC is doing with a current school district? Because I think I serve on my local school board, and I know we have relationships and do things, even though we're a 4K through 8 district, but our area works with obviously the UW-Parkside, with Carthage, and UW-Milwaukee as well.
Absolutely. And one of the strengths of Wisconsin education is we have a very strong dual enrollment system. So, for example, we work with MPS to bring in students during their senior year who will take courses in IT, and they will get credit to both complete their high school diploma and get credit toward an IT associate. And what's really nice for the students is because they're in high school, as you know, public K-12 schools are publicly funded, which means students don't have to pay to go to them. So students who take advantage of dual enrollment while they're in high school don't have to pay for their college courses. And yes, I understand your school has a similar arrangement with Gateway Technical College, where students can go in and do this type of thing. There are schools in Milwaukee that encouraged this to the point where some of the smaller ones essentially say, we don't want you to come to our school as a senior. We want you to go to MATC and get credits and start toward your associate. So yeah, it's a very good opportunity for students in Wisconsin. And it's something, having grown up in a different state where the opportunities were more limited, I greatly appreciate.
One of the things I always like to ask as we get towards the end of the program, the interview, is first of all, is there anything that I have not asked you that is important enough that you would like to share with me and our audience?
Well, I don't think you've missed anything. I think we've had a pretty thorough conversation, so nothing particularly springs to mind. I would just say, reiterate again, that I think WTCS schools are a strong investment both for students and the community. But we have talked about that, so
okay.
I want to emphasize it.
Okay, very good. Well, as we wrap things up, Mike, it's interesting all the things that you've talked about, and so many new programs. And if any of our audience listening has an interest or knows of anyone that would have an interest in learning more about what your programs offer in your division, how do they get in contact, or how do they find it on the internet?
So the best way to do it is if you go to matc.edu/get help. And the reason I mention this is, aside from the fact that you can get immediate access to the STEM pathway contact information, you can also get contact information for all of our other pathways. Mm-hmm. So if a different pathway interests you more, if you want to be a future musician or artist, for example, you can also find the creative arts pathway.
Which is very scientific.
Absolutely.
And mathematical.
Absolutely.
Okay. I would like to thank Dr. Michael Jenkins, who is the interim dean of STEM Pathway at Milwaukee Area Technical College, for joining me this morning here on Education Matters. For WGTD and Education Matters, I'm Steve Brown. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. Support comes from UW Parkside's Jazz Week, a week-long event with nightly concerts March 17th through the 21st, featuring Bolivian-born singer Abelise Guadilla Faraguti and jazz drummer Frank Rosalie. More information at uwp.edu/the Rita. Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, offering fresh local produce, delicious prepared foods and baked goods, unique gifts and more. Met the historic Kenosha Women's Club off of Library Square, Saturdays from 9 to 1. Free ample parking, then ramp access behind the building on Sheridan Road.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Carthage is expanding its offering of summer camps and clinics for K through 12 students. They range in length from 1 to 5 days and include commuter or residential options. More info at carthage.edu.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I hope that you can join me for Monday's morning show here on WGTD. I am delighted to welcome to the program for the very first time, and on St. Patrick's Day to boot, Tip McGuire, State Representative, representing the 64th Assembly District. He has been a part of the State Assembly since 2019. We will talk with him primarily about Governor Evers' proposed state budget and the prospects of the Democrats and Republicans working together. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
Saturday nights on WGTD HD1 is your place for jazz, big band blues, and more. Beginning at 7 p.m., it's Saturday Night Bandstand with Mike Kehoe, followed by Tim Bell's classic big bands and John Nicholson's At the Water's Edge. Then it's rotating hosts at 11 p.m., Joe Mooney from Jazz A La Carte, Dave Overby with the Jazz Club, Matt Nicholson from Jazz After Hours, and Davey Moe of Beyond Category. Locally hosted jazz Saturday evenings, 7 p.m. to midnight on WGTD HD1.